This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Good morning, John Osterlund here with you. There was a shooting Sunday night, 3 nights ago, in the warehouse district in New Orleans. And you know, there's not very many shootings in that part of town. That's where I live. And there's shootings all over New Orleans all the time, but usually not there. And then a couple of days went by, and details of that shooting just came out. Did you hear about this? A man who worked in the Orleans Parish District Attorney's Office. He was a lawyer. He's an assistant. He went into an apartment and an apartment building in the warehouse district, and he had a gun. He pulled out the gun. There were two guys in the apartment, and evidently the man who went in with the gun was romantically involved with one of the two men in the apartment, and he was upset that his ex-boyfriend was with another man. And so when he went into the apartment and he pulled the gun out, one of the men ran into the bathroom and locked the door. The other man ran out the front door of the apartment. The man who walked into the apartment with the gun, the man who worked for the Orleans Parish District Attorney's Office, fired shots through the bathroom door. And then after he did that, he turned the gun on himself, shot himself, and killed himself. The man who was hiding in the bathroom is all right. The only man who died was the man who went into the apartment with the gun. The shooter is the only one who died, and the shooter died at his own hands, and he worked for the Orleans Parish District Attorney's Office. This happened Sunday night. He was upset that his ex-lover was with another man. And that happened. You don't see that very often. Again, people get shot in New Orleans all the time. People get shot every day in New Orleans.
You know, whether it's love.
You don't see it like that.
Whether it's love or being involved in the mafia, I could never get with I can never see myself in a position where I'm invested so much into something that if it doesn't go right, I feel like the only option is to get rid of myself. You know, I've seen this a couple of times with guys who are either in like involved in some kind of organized crime to the point where if it doesn't go right, they would rather kill themselves than face the consequences. And I've seen it with guys who get into these relationships that they're so codependent on that if the relationship doesn't go right, they feel like the only option is to off themselves. Even if they want to try to kill their lover or the ex-lover or whoever they're romantically involved with and then turn the gun on themselves, I do not want to be in that place where I'm so psychologically invested in somebody else's ordeals that if it doesn't go my way, I have to off myself. You know, I don't see maybe I'm so too self-centered to even think like that, but I don't want to be involved in anything like that.
You know, most people have been in good and bad relationships. I couldn't imagine, just like you said, Coleman, I couldn't imagine killing myself because I was so upset that someone who I was doing sex with was now not doing sex with me anymore, but doing sex with somebody else.
All right, so let's say you're the dude that ran away, right? Because the ex of your current lover busted into the apartment and started shooting. And you find out that your new lover survived. Do you date him after that? Like, would you even want to be involved after that? Like, I'm trying to picture, let's say I'm hanging out with this chick and her ex-boyfriend comes in and causes all that commotion or whatever, almost tries to kill her, probably takes a shot at me, but then he offs himself. Do I want to date that chick after that? Do I even want to pursue that relationship?
Or yeah, like, that would fall under the definition of baggage.
Yeah.
You know, the person you're dating. Here's what I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
I gave you all the details of the story. I don't know which of the two men ran and locked himself in the bathroom and which of the two men ran out of the apartment and left. I'm speculating here. I'm guessing here. I'm guessing the ex-lover. I'm guessing the ex-boyfriend ran into the bathroom.
That's a safe assumption. That's what
I'm guessing. And I'm right. Guessing the new dude who was doing sex with him ran out the front door. I'm speculating there.
I think that makes sense because the person that would run into the bathroom would run into the bathroom because they do have stake in that place that they have, whereas the person who ran out into the apartment didn't have anything to lose, so they just left. But it would be a bitch move if it was the opposite way. But like the new lover ran into the bathroom and the guy that stayed there left out.
That could have happened.
It could have happened.
Because the report says that, again, he found his ex-lover with another man, then fires a gun at that man.
Oh.
So that could have been the other man who ran into the bathroom.
See, that adds a whole new level of cowardice. Like, you allow your new lover to go hide in your bathroom while you run away and leave your new lover in the bathroom of your own house or your own apartment. Nah, that relationship, no, this is not going anywhere. That's like if I'm with a chick and my ex busts into my house, but my new chick runs into the bathroom and I leave out the house. That would be a bitch move.
So the gay guy who works for the Orleans Parish District Attorney's Office, and he's in his late 20s. Well, he was in his late 20s. He goes in to his ex-lover's apartment in the warehouse district. His ex-lover is there with a new dude. The guy from the DA's office pulls the gun out. One of the guys runs into the bathroom and locks the door. The other guy runs out the front door. The guy from the DA's office shoots through the bathroom door. And in the story, from what I can tell, that was the new lover of his ex-boyfriend.
Hmm.
So, I mean, if things don't work out with you and your relationship, gay, straight, whatever, are you really upset with the new person who replaced you like this? Or are you more upset with your ex because you're not together anymore and your ex is now with someone new? This dude, the guy that worked for the Orleans Parish District Attorney's Office, From the way this story is written, he shot at his ex's new dude.
See, Dr. Dre said it best. He said, if your bitch is in my ride, it's your bitch that you check. Don't check me if your bitch is in my car. You check your bitch. It's not my fault. You know what I'm saying? You don't take it out. You don't, if your ex or your Kermit is hanging out with another chick, you don't get mad at the other chick. You get mad at the person that you're involved with because it's not the other person's fault. You know what I'm saying? So I don't see why he would. I can't picture the whole situation.
No, I hear where Dr. Dre's coming from with the witch bitch to be upset.
Right,
with.
He should have checked his ex lover, not the new. The new lover probably has nothing to do with it, unless he stole him from the other guy. Like he like sent the letter saying, "I'm going to take your man from you," or something like that.
Because I've said in the past, if I've ever been in a relationship where my girlfriend was cheating on me, which I can happily say that it's never happened.
To the best of your knowledge.
To the best of my knowledge. But in past relationships I've been in, if that ever did happen, I'd be more mad at her than I'd be at the dude she's cheating on me with, because I got something in common with the guy she's cheating on me with. We both have the same taste in women. Mm-hmm. I'd be like, hey man, you got good taste. Well, I'd be more mad with the woman who's cheating on me than who she's cheating on me with.
Yeah, I've been fortunate enough to be in a relationship with some very, very attractive women, like hot babes. So it stands to reason that other men, when she's out doing her business by herself, whether she's making groceries or she's at work, it's expected that her coworkers may try to flirt with her, or people in public may try to flirt with her, or people who don't know she's in a relationship. It makes sense because she's, you know, she's very, very attractive. Sure. So I would never get mad at another man for trying to pursue the woman I'm in a relationship with, especially if she's hot. Now, if she entertains it, that's a different story. Once again, it's not their fault for flirting. I would flirt, too, if I saw her and she was with him. Damn, she looks good. You got a man, something like that. But if she entertains it and pursues it, then that's her fault, not the people that's trying to pursue it.
Just a story you don't see every day. You don't see a shooting like this every day, even though you see shootings in New Orleans every day. You don't see a shooter, especially the guy who worked for the district attorney's office.
Could you imagine that guy looking down from heaven or hell, wherever the hell he's at, like, damn it, I missed. I shot myself for nothing. Like, he didn't accomplish his goal. If his goal was to shoot the new lover or the other lover, whatever one it was, and he survived, he literally killed himself for nothing. He didn't even kill himself right. He didn't accomplish the mission.
All right, coming up on the show today, a high school football coach lost his job because he prayed with his team on the field. They said a prayer. And there were some people that are big separation of church and state people that had the man fired. And now the coach wants the United States Supreme Court to intervene. When I played high school football, we used to pray all the time. Nobody said anything. I went to a public school. We're going to talk about that. We have a lot to do on the show this morning. Hang out with us here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Calling all pop culture enthusiasts.
Are you obsessed with all things celebrity?
Do you live for the drama, the laughs, and the unexpected moments that unfold on social media?
Then you're going to want to tune in to the Comments by Celebs podcast.
Join us 3 times a week as we deep dive into every aspect of pop culture.
Whether it's dissecting the latest trends or just chatting about your favorite celebs, Comments by Celebs has you covered.
We have new episodes out every week. Follow and listen to Comments by Celebs on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Good morning, John Osterlund, here with you. Today is day 17 after Hurricane Ida. Entergy yesterday said 90% of the residents have their power back. And you know, those 10%, that don't have their power back. I know a lot of them are in St. Charles Parish, some in St. John the Baptist Parish, and I know down in Houma, or around there. I know Terrebonne Parish, Lafourche Parish, they got hit really hard with Hurricane Ida. But 17 days after the hurricane, and 90% of the people have their power back. And the remaining 10%, you know, they're working hard. They said by the end of the month, which is a really long time. And so we're recovering and we're rocking at the same time here at our radio station. Here in the city of New Orleans, people got their power back within about 5, 6, 7 days, maybe some a little bit more than that. And I stayed, and it was rough, no doubt about it, with the heat. But right now, the biggest problem in New Orleans is the garbage. There is tons of garbage that has not been picked up yet. And the city of New Orleans is going to have to do what Entergy, the electric company, did. Entergy brought in over 20,000 crews from around the country to come down here to get us our power back, to reconnect us with our electricity. It looks like New Orleans is going to have to get garbage men from outside of our area to bring their garbage trucks down here and pick up the trash.
Well, how would they be able to do that? You were saying even before Hurricane Ida, New Orleans was having problems with trash pickup. So how would, after Ida, would they be able to get crews from out of state or out of the town?
Because they'll pay them.
They could do that with the...
Well, and you're right, Coleman. Before Hurricane Ida, there were some issues with trash not being picked up on time by the garbage men here in the city of New Orleans. That was before Hurricane Ida.
Right.
And you know what? You know the guy who used to be one of the big trash collectors here in New Orleans. He was on television with commercials where he was dancing down Bourbon Street with a broom. Remember Sidney Torres?
Ooh, that smell.
Yeah, the Trashanova. Sidney Torres IV. He's an entrepreneur. He's been on television for real estate television shows. I mean, and garbage is one of his businesses. He now, and his latest garbage company is called Four Waste, but it's the Roman numerals four. It's the I and the V and then waste. For waste, Sidney Torres's garbage company is going to start picking up trash in New Orleans as the garbage continues to rot. So I know, you know, I remember when Sidney Torres was picking up a lot of New Orleans garbage. He's not anymore, even though he's still in the garbage business. But I remember, and I think it was his company, that when they would clean up Bourbon Street in the French Quarter on a Sunday morning, it would smell like lemons.
Yeah, they had some
I guess lemons and urine, a mix.
As Tech said, you didn't have these issues with trash before New Orleans switched companies.
You know, that's a good point, Texter. Well, Sydney's back helping out. And they're going to have to bring it, like they brought in linemen from all over the... Can you imagine bringing in garbage men from all over the country? Imagine bringing in garbage trucks and garbage men from all over the country?
Well, if you're going to pay them, hell yeah. There's probably people waiting to get on those garbage trucks, get some extra cash. But like I said, if they can do this now, if Sidney Torres can help it, this, that, and other. Once we get back to normal, are we still going to have problems with trash companies and contracts after this? Or like, cause is this just a one-time deal?
Yeah,
hey, let's clean up the city for the moment. But don't, when things get back rolling, are they still going to have problems with contracts and companies? And
the reason we had problems picking up the trash before Hurricane Ida is because there was a lack of employees, a lack of garbage men, because the federal government, the state government, they were giving out so much money because of coronavirus that the garbage business was like so many other businesses. They couldn't find people. I mean, right now in America, there are so many jobs that are open, that are available, because the workers, why go to work when you can get money from the government? Well, the taxpayers. Why go to work when the state government and the federal government? I mean, the extra unemployment, what was it, an extra $300 every paycheck?
Mm-hmm, something of that nature.
I mean, people were making more money, and that was all because of the virus. People were making more money not going to work. They were making more money collecting a check than they were getting from their jobs. So why would anybody go to work in that situation?
This text said they need to put the money in the pockets of the people who actually want to work for it. This text says right now the city of New Orleans has out-of-town ambulances because they can't keep EMS personnel.
Yeah, this city, and it has for a long time. It has, and right now it's as bad as I've seen. This city is broke. It has hardcore financial issues, and it's especially broke here at the end of the pandemic because we live on tourism, and who was traveling, who was touring, who was vacationing, who was coming to New Orleans for the last year and a half because of the coronavirus? We hardly anybody.
And you have to consider the type of jobs that need employees. It's those what millennials would call dirty jobs. Like, who wants to be a trash man? Who wants to be put their lives on the line and be a police officer? Who wants to get into the medical field and get their hands dirty? Some of these jobs, it takes a certain type of person to do. You can't just get anybody off the street. They have to have a certain mentality. They have to have a certain will, because these are considered hard, dirty jobs when they can just work from home and do OnlyFans and make money like that. Why would they put themselves in a line of fire and be a cop, or get their hands dirty and toss some trash when they could get it easy behind the, you know, the keyboard?
Well, slow down. The women who make money on OnlyFans, they're not the ones who are going out picking up the garbage.
I'm just saying, you know, there's other options other than getting your hands dirty when the whole dynamic of online social media and ways to make money doing something else that doesn't require you getting in a line of fire, getting your hands dirty.
I'm still looking into OnlyFans to see if there's any way that I know it's mostly women who make the money on OnlyFans. But so and the city of New Orleans said yesterday that the garbage is going to get picked up as as soon as possible, but we're gonna have garbage men and garbage trucks coming in from out of town, like we had electricity workers and electric trucks coming in from out of town to get us hooked up. And one other thing, Cox Cable yesterday made an announcement saying that they know that there's a lot of people, even though they got their power back on, but they don't have their cable and their internet yet restored at their homes. Cox says there are 500 workers working around the clock to get that taken care of. They said all of Metairie should have their cable back by tonight. And they said Kenner should have their cable back by Sunday, at some point on Sunday. Even though they're right next to each other, I don't know why it's taking such a big difference in time. That's the thing that surprised me the most when my power came back on in New Orleans. The night my lights came back on, 2 minutes later, there's a college football game on my television. I figured once I got my power back, it was going to take a few days for the cable and internet to come back. No, when my power came back on, bang, my cable was hooked up, which I couldn't believe.
Well, yeah, my cable came on, but it took the internet about 2 weeks or so to come back, a week or so to come back. Even though I'm with the same my cable provider, the same as my internet provider. The cable came immediately on once the power came back on, but the internet took a few days. You know what happened yesterday? I got a bill in the mail, an Entergy bill. I felt played, and it was like a regular size bill. I'm like, is the next bill going to be the one where my power went out? You know?
Yeah, we didn't see mail for over a week.
Yeah,
and then all of a sudden the mail starts coming back, and we're getting bills from the electric company.
I'm assuming that's from last month, not this month with the hurricane.
All right, so that's where we're at. Again, it's the day 17 after Hurricane Ida, and we're recovering, and here on our radio station, Bayou 95.7, we're rocking while we're recovering. Coming up on the show, there's a high school football coach who lost his job because he prayed with his team on the field. And there were a bunch of people who are, you know, separation of church and state people. They complained, and the guy lost his job. He's asking the United States Supreme Court now to get involved. We'll tell you about that. We got a lot to do on the show this morning. Hang out with us here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. I was just reading where... I don't watch the television show Wheel of Fortune, but they made their host Pat Sajak an executive producer, and they said he's made a few tweaks to the show. The one thing that bothers me about Wheel of Fortune, and again, I don't watch the show, but people have to bend over to spin the wheel. You would think that they would have a wheel that you could spin, that you're standing straight up. I mean, that can't be that great for your back. You got to bend over, spin the wheel, and you would think that they would, that would be something that they would be looking into.
Now that you think about it, you're right. You know, what if there's somebody that's good at Wheel of Fortune, but they're like wheelchair bound, or they have sclerosis in their back or something like that, and they couldn't participate? That means they have to have like a physical audition to make sure that the contestants are physically able to bend over and have the strength to spin the wheel. Like, what if you're an amputee? How would you be able to spin the wheel if you don't have an arm? You know, you make a good point right there, Austin.
I wonder how come we haven't read about some suing the show Wheel of Fortune, because people like you just described, Coleman, they're unable to play.
Well...
And we have, you know, we have laws in this country that protect handicapped people.
That would suck that you know you're good at Wheel of Fortune, but you can't participate because you might have a physical anomaly that prevents you from either spinning the wheel or bending over because of old age or something like that.
Yeah, I just figured when I was reading about these tweaks being made to the show, that's something you shouldn't be able to stand up straight while you're spinning the Wheel of Fortune. Here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Good morning, J.O., here with you. Yesterday, a lot of us were sad because someone who many of us liked died, and we had no idea he was even sick. Did you see who died yesterday? Comedian Norm Macdonald.
Oh.
Much too young at 61 years old. And evidently, for the past 9 years, he's been battling cancer. And he didn't want to tell anybody. From what I read, he didn't tell his family. He didn't tell any close friends. He didn't want the public to know. And when I saw that yesterday, I was sad. Norm Macdonald, best known for hosting Weekend Update on Saturday Night Live.
Uncanny Weekend Update. He was one of the best.
He may have been the best. I mean, yeah. He was right there with Chevy Chase when it came to Weekend Update hosts. Norm Macdonald hosted Weekend Update for 5 years on Saturday Night Live. And do you know why he lost that job? Because he would not stop writing and telling O.J. Simpson jokes. And
yeah.
the guy who...
I thought about that, but I didn't...
The guy who was at the top of the heap at Saturday Night Live back then was one of O.J. Simpson's best friends. His name is Don Olmeyer.
Dude, if you ever get the chance, there's actually a Norm Macdonald on O.J. Simpson Weekend Update compilation. It's about 10, 11, 15 minutes long. It's just O.J. joke after O.J. joke after O.J. joke. He was coming down to O.J. hard.
And evidently, he was warned more than once to stop with the O.J. jokes because he was the host of Weekend Update when the whole O.J. Simpson story broke. It happened. And the guy who was right at the top of the heap at Saturday Night Live then in the late 90s was a guy named Don Olmeyer. And Don Olmeyer was really close friends with O.J. Simpson. And I guess they told Norm Macdonald, hey, stop with the O.J. jokes. But week after week after week after week, he would come back with the O.J. jokes. And then finally, Don Olmeyer said, you're fired. And that made big news when he got fired from Saturday Night Live. Because, you know, you could say, look, comedians, different people like different comedians. It's like music. Different people like different bands. Just like music, comedy is subjective. He was known for his dry, very, very dry humor.
Deadpan.
Deadpan.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the greatest thing in his life, what he was best known for, was hosting Weekend Update on Saturday Night Live.
But doesn't that suck when somebody's personal preference takes over the professionalism? Like, when you look at those Weekend Update segments, even when there was about O.J., they were genius. They were gold. You think anybody in their right mind would say, but look at the numbers. Look at the ratings. Look how good this segment does. Why would you want me to change that just because of your personal preference? At some point, if you want to be a professional, you should say, you know what? hey, we're getting big numbers. Knock yourself out, Norm.
Well, because his boss or one of his bosses was really close friends
that shouldn't have nothing
with
O.J.
Simpson.
This shouldn't, but yeah. I didn't even know Norm MacDonald was Canadian until yesterday.
Yeah, he's from Quebec.
I didn't know that.
I remember he once said that he'd go to Vegas and there was a line at the check-in at his casino, hotel casino, and he sat down at a table and he lost all of his money before he checked in. I guess that's how, you know, that's how he gambled. You know, he a funny joke he once said, when the New Orleans rock band Better Than Ezra made it, he said, Better Than Ezra was the best new rock band of the year. You know who was second? Ezra. They were the second best rock band of the year. He had a lot. A lot of good jokes, but make no bones about it. I think he was best at and most known for hosting the Weekend Update on Saturday Night Live, and he lost his job because one of his bosses, Don Ohlmeyer, fired him because Don Ohlmeyer was close friends, really tight with O.J. Simpson, and when the O.J. Simpson story happened, Norm MacDonald would not stop with the O.J. Simpson jokes. And that totally sucks that someone gets fired for that reason, because one of your bosses is close friends with someone who you're making jokes about. And by the way, the biggest story of that year, the trial of the century.
Yeah, but I have to say there is something admirable when celebrities, when they have these type of medical issues, they stay silent about it. They don't bring attention to themselves. They kind of just do their own thing. And like you said, we just found out why he died. And for the rest of us, it was like, what? We didn't even know. But I think there's something admirable about that, like not putting your business out there saying, oh, my God, Norm MacDonald's battling cancer and this, that, and made a big stink about it. And, you know, I think he did it the right way.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't think I'd want it known if I got sick.
Right.
I wouldn't want that known by anybody, because you don't want to be treated different.
Exactly.
Although there are people on the other end of that spectrum who let you know about every little problem in their life because they want sympathy. Anyways, just sad to hear yesterday. Again, whether you liked his comedy or not, 61 years old is much too young. R.I.P. Norm MacDonald. Coming up next on the show, a high school football coach lost his job because he prayed with his team on the field. I guess a bunch of separation of church and state people weren't happy about that. Now he wants the Supreme Court to get involved. That's next here, and I want to find out how you feel about that. Here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only, classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only, classic rock station. Good morning, John Osterlund here. And since it's a few minutes after 7, it's time for this morning's Big O.
Oh. Oh.
High school football coach fired for praying on field asks Supreme Court to intervene. Now, this story goes back a couple of years. But there was a high school football coach in Washington State, and his name is Joe Kennedy. And he is asking the Supreme Court to intervene after a prolonged legal battle over his decision to pray after games. Earlier this year, the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals, that's that court out in California, they ruled that the school district in Washington State lawfully fired Joe Kennedy when he defied their order not to pray. So, a couple of years ago, during football season, this high school football coach, after it's a public high school, after games, they'd have the team come and kneel around him, and they'd say a prayer. Someone complained about that, saying, "What about the separation of church and state?" And they told him, court told him, "Look, stop praying, coach." And he didn't. And then he got fired because he wouldn't stop saying a prayer after games. I remember when I played high school football, Coleman, there would always be a prayer. I think we prayed before games, and we would have a priest, a clergyman in the locker room or outside the locker room, and we'd all get down on one knee all around him, and he would pray that none of us got hurt, and he would pray for us to do the best that we could. It was short. It was to the point. No one ever complained. But you could see how some non-religious people could or would get upset about a high school football coach getting his public high school team around him, and a priest or whoever, and praying. You could see how atheists or people that aren't Christians, or you could see how they could or would complain. And again, if I have absolutely no problem.
Yeah, I'm trying to
with what this coach did. I mean, I was a part of this in high school, but you could see the argument.
Okay. If the school told the guy not to pray on the field after the game and he continued to do it, I can understand how it is he was legally fired, all right? The school has the right to do that. However, I don't see why it was a problem to begin with, because it was after the game. Everything's done. There's no harm. Nobody's getting injured. He's not forcing anybody to do anything. I'm not assuming he's forcing the team to pray. I don't see what the actual discrepancy was or why it was such a problem for the guy to pray after the game on the field. Like, it only takes a couple minutes. It's not like he's, you know, cursing his team out after the game, because some coaches would do that. Oh, you messed up. You bleepity bleep bleep and bleep. Now go hit the showers because you lost. This seems like a more ethical thing to do as far as what coaches could be doing after a game. You know, going to the locker room with cigars and smoking and celebrating and harassing cheerleaders and whatnot. You think this would be more of the upstanding things a coach can do after a game that wouldn't cause anybody any problems?
There's a religious liberty law firm that is representing this coach, the former coach, Joe Kennedy. They're called First Liberty Institute. They're a religious liberty law firm, and they have argued that the school district infringed on his constitutional rights. They said no American should be forced to choose between their faith and the job that they love. They said the Ninth Circuit's opinion threatens the rights of millions of Americans who simply want to be able to freely exercise their faith without fear of losing their job. We hope the United States Supreme Court will right this wrong and restore Coach Kennedy to the football field where he belongs. Now, Americans United for Separation of Church and State, they're on the other end of this argument. They praised the Ninth Circuit Court's decision, stating that it protected students' religious freedom. They say public schools must provide an inclusive and welcoming environment for all students, regardless of their religious beliefs.
So do you think the issue is just the visibility of where they prayed? Meaning that, in all honesty, the coach could have prayed with his team anywhere, in a locker room, in the classroom, somewhere else. Do you think it's just because he did it on the field and the visibility of it caused a problem with onlookers? It's kind of like, well, we see you doing it. It's like a display, like virtue signaling.
No, I think, Coleman, I think the fact that he just, they prayed, period, as a public high school football team is what got the separation of church and state people involved in this. Now, the United States Supreme Court rejected an appeal from this high school football coach in 2019, not long after this all went down. But now, with the new makeup of the United States Supreme Court, there are more conservatives on the Supreme Court now, and he's hoping that they will reverse the
But even if the Supreme Court,
the Ninth Circuit Court's ruling,
even if the Supreme Court does reverse that decision, would you even want to work for that school anymore after what they did?
Well, look, it was a court that ordered him, not the school. It was a court that ordered him. He didn't listen to the court, and then I guess they had no choice but to fire him. If you're listening right now, now look, I'm Catholic, and Coleman, I know that you're not the biggest religious person.
I'm not religious at all, but I do believe in religious freedom. But I also believe that the school has a right to fire anybody for any reason they want. So my issue is what is the prayer in the field actually doing that harms or hurts anybody? That's my issue with it. It doesn't seem like it's harming anybody. It doesn't seem like nobody's getting hurt. That's my issue with the whole rule.
And I will say, if there's any player on the team that doesn't want to be a part of that prayer, they don't have to be a part of the prayer.
They could just
walk away when the coach tells the team to get around them. He's going to pray, and if there are players on the team that aren't religious or whatever the case may be, they don't have to take a knee and they don't have to be a part of the prayer. I'll see you in the shower.
And I wonder how much of it also depends on who he prays to, because it might not work the same if he was praying to another religious deity.
Well, he's a Christian.
Exactly. So what if he wasn't? What if he was praying to another non-Christian deity? Would you think he would get fired?
That's a fair question. If you're listening right now, do you think what this coach did violated the separation of church and state? It's a public high school. You can see the argument, right? But the way I look at it is if there's a football player, a high school football player that isn't religious, that isn't Christian, and doesn't want to pray, he doesn't have to be a part of it. But you can see their argument, can't you? I want you to text us. Let me know, do you think the United States Supreme Court should take this up? And do you think they should rule that he should be able to do this, to continue to do this? Or are you on the other side of the argument, hey, look, man, the separation of church and state, you know, you can't combine the two. Text us, 504-260-9595. Keep your text short, one, two sentences. You know, here's one of those stories where you can see both sides of the argument. And anytime the United States Supreme Court gets involved, it's a big deal. Coming up on the show, by the way, speaking of the Supreme Court, there are people that want them to get involved with so many of McDonald's ice cream machines never working. Could you imagine that if the Supreme Court said we're going to rule on that?
Well, they did rule on that cheerleader who posted that viral social media post cussing out of school, and they ruled in her favor.
We talked about that, and that was a victory for freedom of speech. We've talked about that on the show before. And I'm fascinated with the United States Supreme Court because they don't even deal with most of the cases that get put in front of them. They don't have time. This is a pretty big case. Text us. It's one of those stories you can see both sides of the argument, but the way I look at it is, look, let the coach do what he's doing. If any of the players don't like it, then leave. Don't be a part of what he's doing. Or am I wrong? Text us, 260-9595. If your text's good, we'll read it coming up next on the show here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. What is Bayou 95.7? In New Orleans, Def Leppard and Alice in Chains. Coming up next, your texts on the public high school football coach who lost his job for praying with his team on the field, and he asked the Supreme Court to intervene. That's next on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. Good morning, J.O. here with you. You know, before Led Zeppelin, we played Alice in Chains. Did you know out of all the Seattle bands, Alice in Chains was the first band to have an album crack the Billboard Top 50? Now, everybody, when they talk about Seattle bands, they always start with Nirvana. They always say, well, Nirvana, and then Pearl Jam, and then Alice, and then Soundgarden, and then, they, you know, they start naming. But out of all the Seattle bands, Alice in Chains was the first band with their album Facelift, great album, to break into the Billboard Top 50. I mean, everybody says Nirvana first because their song Smells Like Teen Spirit and the video, that one song changed the genre of rock and roll. That one song made the scene switch from Los Angeles to Seattle, and not just the scene, but everything about it, the way the music sounded, the way the lyrics were, the way people dressed, the way everything. But Alice in Chains and Soundgarden, they were around before Nirvana broke that door open, and then all the other Seattle bands followed through. If you're just joining us, this morning's Big O segment is about a high school football coach who lost his job. He got fired because he prayed with his team after games. It's a public high school in Washington State. But the separation of church and state people got involved. And they said, you can't be praying with your football players in a public high school. You can't do that. And so that coach has now asked for the Supreme Court to intervene. His name is Joe Kennedy. Earlier this year, the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals said that he was lawfully fired when he defied their order not to pray. This is one of those stories where you could see both sides of the argument. When I was in high school and played football, we used to pray. We'd get down on one knee. The coach would have a priest there or someone from the church. And he would always say, we would pray not to get hurt and pray to do our best. It was quick and that was it. I don't remember anyone complaining, but if anyone complained back then, we probably would have looked at them and told them, well, just don't pray then. Just walk away. You don't have to be in this. So this has been going on for a couple of years, and the Supreme Court rejected an appeal from this high school coach a couple of years ago in 2019. Well, now it's a new Supreme Court. There are more conservatives, righties, on the Supreme Court, and he's asking the Supreme Court to intervene. And I asked you to text us your thoughts on this.
This first text from John Luna. We did it in high school, and as long as it was elective and not mandatory, I don't see a problem with praying.
Yeah, if there's a player that's not Christian, if there's a player that's not religious at all right, just walk over there for the next minute.
This text said, there's a group that threatens to sue the school in Louisiana every year for prayers at graduation ceremonies. This text says, no praying in public schools. In private religious schools is fine.
And that's what the separation of church and state people say.
But could you actually stop somebody from praying? Because from what I understand about prayer, you can do it silently to yourself. You can do it while you're walking in the halls. You can't necessarily stop a person from praying if they really choose to. You can mentally, you don't have to actually verbally speak it out loud to pray. You can do a silent prayer too. And that makes me wonder, like, what about meditation? Let's say they weren't praying. Let's say they just had a moment of silence. Would that be against the rule? Does it necessarily have to be praying? What if they were meditating? You know, they weren't praying. They were just meditating. Or what if they were having a business meeting, just congregating in the middle of the field? Like, how could they actually prove that they were praying? Did they say we're going to pray? Like, there's so many different things they could have been doing that looked like prayer. They could have just been huddling and going over plays. So that's another weird thing about this whole don't pray thing, because you can do it anywhere and everywhere. You don't necessarily have to be praying, and it's so much involved that it's nonsensical.
Well, the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals out there in San Francisco, they're the ones that ruled on this, and you know, as a court, they've been looked at as a very unique court.
All right, Ben says, I don't see how praying with your team hurts anyone, but the coach didn't take the warning and got fired. That's on him. And I can see that side, too.
Like,
if they constantly told him, don't do it, don't do it, don't do it, and they kept doing it, yeah, he kind of set himself up.
The warning was from the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals.
And from that side, once again, there were other options. He didn't necessarily have to pray on the field after the game. He could have prayed in a locker room. He could have prayed in a parking lot. You know, there's so many, if he felt the need to have to pray, he didn't necessarily have to do it on the school grounds right then and there. So a part of me think he was doing it on purpose to avert the signal as well.
Well, he did it after the games were over.
Right.
And he did it right there on the field. And again, it's a public high school, and the people that have an issue with the people that are for the separation of church and state, they don't want to see that.
This text says that the coach told them that they had to take part, then he's wrong. If the coach didn't tell them to take part and the students had the option to walk away from the prayer and elected to do so, well, he's not.
Yeah, and in my opinion, I believe any student, any high school football player on that team, if they didn't want to be a part of the prayer, they didn't have to be. That's the whole thing.
All right, this text says, you can't do anything without someone crying and throwing a temper tantrum like a child. People should be able to do as they please regardless of others' opinion. That's from PM. And Tim from Thibodeau says, Supreme Court needs to intervene. Giving thanks to God should not be offensive and included in this country is ridiculous intolerance and snowflake personality.
Well, that's the big question now. Will the United States Supreme Court intervene? Will they say yes to this case? I mean, we know that the United States Supreme Court doesn't rule on, what, 99% of the cases, even more than that, that get in front of them. They don't have time. They're the most important court in our country. They're the end of the road. They're the last stop on the legal train in this country. And that's why I've always been fascinated with them, because the cases that they decide to rule on, they're so few that in their opinions, in their minds, they're the most important ones.
I still maintain I would love to know if this court or the school would have taken the same measures if this guy, if he prayed, but it wasn't Christianity. If he was any other religion and he prayed to their deity, would it have been such a problem? Or is it just because he's a Christian? You know, a part of me still suspects that if it was any other religion, we wouldn't even be talking about
this. Well, I don't know what other religion a public high school would be praying for after a football game.
There's a lot of different religions out there, John.
But in this country?
Yeah, in this country. There's a lot of different religions in this country.
No,
yes.
But have you ever heard or seen of any public high school prayer to any other religion besides Christianity?
Not personally, no, but I know they're out there somewhere.
Not at a public high school in this country.
You don't think so?
No.
Oh, okay.
No. What was our country founded on?
Yeah, but you know there's a lot of different religions within I know what our country was founded on, but you don't think there's people that pray to other gods anywhere else? Because I've seen other...
Not at public high schools around football games. No, there's one. There's one.
Okay. That doesn't seem like a lot of variety.
Well, look, we appreciate your texts. We always do. It doesn't matter what we talk about. When we're doing the show here in the morning, we always encourage you. You text us about whatever you want and keep it to one or two sentences. And if it's good, we'll read it on the show. Our text line is 504-260-9595. We always appreciate your texts. Coming up next, a great-looking Hollywood actress. She's looking for a husband. And she's looking for someone who's not famous. Look, that's me, and most of the country. I'll explain next coming up. I want to put my hat in the ring for this. Here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. Good morning, John Osterlund. Here with you. And Entergy says 90% of the folks who had their power knocked out during Hurricane Ida have their power back. I know the other 10%, it's going to take a little bit more time. They got hit the hardest. I know St. Charles Parish. I know Lafourche Parish, Terrebonne Parish. They're saying it's still going to take a little bit more time. But today's day 17 after Hurricane Ida. And 90% of the people who lost their power have their power back. That's good news. I know with Cox Cable, they say today all of Metairie should have their cable and internet back. They said Kenner, the people who live there, should have it back by Sunday. And that's what I was surprised the most by when I got my power back living in New Orleans. Right after my power came back, there was a college football game on my television set, on my screen. And I figured it would take a few days after my power came back to get my cable and internet back. But that came right back with my power. And one other thing here in New Orleans, the garbage situation is pretty bad. And they may have to bring in garbage trucks and garbage men from out of town like Entergy brought in linemen, and they brought in electric trucks from all over the place, from out of town. But here in the city of New Orleans, they were having problems picking up the garbage before Hurricane Ida because they were short-staffed. Because they didn't have enough workers because they were getting so much money from unemployment. So they were having issues before the hurricane picking up the trash. And now there's trash and it's rotten and it's all over the place. And they're saying some garbage men from out of town may be coming in. I know Sidney Torres, who used to pick up a lot of trash in the city of New Orleans. Remember his TV commercials when he'd be dancing down Bourbon Street with a broom? He was the Trashanova. He was the Bon Jovi of garbage. Ooh, that smell. Here in New Orleans. But his company hasn't been doing it, even though he still has a garbage company. It's called Four, because he's Sidney Torres the Fourth. But now Sidney Torres is getting involved. And he's gonna, they're gonna come in and pick up some of the trash. So the city's working on it. Well, here we are, day 17, rocking and recovering. 17 days after Hurricane Ida. Jennifer Aniston has made some news.
She's a babe.
You know, she's single. And she says she wants the man in her life not to be famous. She doesn't want anyone in Hollywood to be with her anymore. She just wants to meet a regular dude.
Yeah, she said no public. So I guess that if you're have some sort of celebrity with you, or you're some sort of famous, if you're a figure of the public, she's not interested.
Well, look, it's hard to believe Jennifer Aniston is single. That's hard to believe. But you know what? I'm single too. And only some people in the New Orleans metropolitan region, Boston metropolitan region, and Hartford, Connecticut metropolitan region know who I am, because
that sounds like you're pretty famous, John.
Yeah, but slow down here. No.
I mean, you're not Hollywood famous, but come on, that's three different cities you just named.
No, if I hooked up with Jennifer Aniston, I would happily move out of my apartment in New Orleans to her mansion in Beverly Hills, where no one knows who I am. No one knows who I am out in California.
I mean, if that's
and most of the country, nobody knows who I am. I'm nothing. I'm available to give it a shot to be Jennifer Aniston's.
If that's the metric that we're going by, John, I think I have a better chance than you. I mean, I have coworkers that don't even know who I am. Everybody knows who you are in this building.
Walt Coleman. She's 52 years old now. And she just did an interview. And she said that, she's been married twice. She's been married to Brad Pitt, and we all know what happened there. He made a movie with Angelina Jolie, and that was the end of his marriage to Jennifer Aniston. And then she was married to someone named Justin Theroux.
Okay.
I don't know who he is.
Seems like he wasn't a public figure.
But she's thinking maybe the third time is the charm when it comes to husbands.
You'd think she would learn her lesson the first two times and just rock, you know, just live your life. You got all the money you need. Do you really need a man at this point?
Well, she says that she's sort of hoping for someone, not necessarily somebody in the industry itself. That would be nice.
All right. I think I see the caveat, though. I think Even though she's saying she doesn't want anybody that's famous or in the industry that she's in, that doesn't necessarily mean she wants somebody broke. She might still want somebody with money, you know, but doesn't want somebody with money.
She doesn't need anybody with
money. She doesn't need it.
You know how rich she is?
That doesn't mean she doesn't want it. She might not need anybody with money, but that doesn't mean she's going to go ahead on and just date the first bum that she finds attractive that works at Dairy Queen or something like that.
And she also said she has no intention of online dating.
I could agree with that too.
She said, I'm going to just stick to the normal ways of dating, having someone ask you out. That's the way I would prefer it.
See, now we got to move out to California if we have a chance, John. It's not like she's going to come to New Orleans anytime.
So now you want to put yourself right next to me and take it.
Yeah, I want to put my name in the hat as well. I need a sugar mom in my life. These bills are stacking up. I've been saying this for a while now, man. I need somebody to come help me with these damn bills. And she seems like she's well off enough to help me out. I'll make her feel good in the process. It's not going to be a one-sided relationship. I throw, you know, my weight around, give her a back massage every now and then, whisper sweet nothings in her ear, you know, stuff that women like.
I mean, could you imagine Jennifer Aniston dating online? Can you imagine, like, you're on an online dating site, and there's her picture.
Yeah, you swipe Jen. Right.
Yeah, it says Jen. Jen, Beverly Hills, California. Yeah, I'll.
There was some celebrity, oh, man, I forget. He tried to do online dating, but nobody believed it was him. He kept getting, like, spam reports saying to cancel his online dating account because nobody believed that this actual celebrity had a dating account. And he kept trying to say, no, this is actually me. This is my, I'm on Tinder. I'm trying to find somebody. But they kept deleting his account thinking he was faking.
You know, I don't do online dating. And I'll be honest with you. This is the longest I've been single in my whole life. And people like you, Coleman, who know me well, you have an idea why I'm single. Mm-hmm. But I'm still looking for Mrs. Perfect.
Dan from Boston says, I find it weird that she's single. However, she can't keep a man. She's got to have issues in her head or something. I'm just saying.
Well, Dan, I see your point. Although, again, I don't know who or what happened with her second husband, Justin Theroux. I know nothing about that.
But he wasn't thorough enough.
But we all know what happened with her first husband. Her first husband went and made a movie with Angelina Jolie, and that was the end of the marriage with Jennifer Aniston. But that's something. It is hard to believe she, at 52 years old, is single. She is so good looking, and she's so rich that you would think men would literally be throwing themselves at her.
That's probably the problem. Men are probably literally throwing themselves at her, and she can't find the decent ones. She can't find the good one because I know I'm trying to throw myself at her now, but she might have a height requirement. Maybe I'm not tall enough. You know, I'm quite sure if I met her in real life, I could find a way to charm her, but I would have to go see her. She wants the old school thing. I can't just DM her like the other celebrities, like on a Twitter or something like that. Like, hey, Aniston, I'm single. She wants the old fashioned way. So I have to find a way to go all the way over there, find out what her habits are, where she goes, and like bump into her at a Walmart or wherever she shops at. That's even if she does shopping. That's another thing. How's she going to meet somebody if you probably have people doing things for her? Where did she go? What did she do?
I'm sure you're not going to see Jennifer Aniston in Walmart.
Exactly. So how's she going to find somebody if she doesn't go to regular people's spots?
Mm. All right. Well, anyways, I just wish her the best, and I'm making an announcement that I am available, Jen. Anyways, coming up, I got the dumbest thing I read all morning. And also, there was a little bit of a COVID breakout with the New Orleans Saints. Stay tuned for those reports coming up here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. A handful of Saints offensive coaches tested positive for COVID. None of the players that are currently playing have tested positive for COVID. You know, and the Saints said that all of the coaches that tested positive, they've all been vaccinated. But they still tested positive. And you could still test positive if you've been vaccinated, but it just won't be as bad. You won't end up in the hospital, supposedly. That's what they say.
But everything's fine then, right?
Yeah. I don't know if those the handful of offensive coaches who tested positive for COVID for the Saints, I don't know if they will be with the team this coming Sunday. Look, after what the Saints did last week to the Green Bay Packers, I know it's only 1 week, but the Saints look real. They look real. I mean, they had one of the top five defenses in the NFL last year, and they filled a couple of holes there. The way Jameis Winston played week one against Green Bay, again, you know, you've always known he's had the talent. He was the number one overall draft pick in the NFL draft a few years ago. The question with him is, can his mental makeup match his physical ability? And boy, oh boy, how great was he in week one? The Saints look real. As a matter of fact, every week there's an NFL top teams, the best teams in the NFL that gets done every week after the week's games. And the Saints right now are number nine. And I think they're higher than that.
How's those teams from the NFC North doing? In the rankings.
Oh, you mean the NFC East?
In the North.
Detroit. Oh, those guys?
Yeah.
Detroit stinks. They always stink. It doesn't matter. But the Saints are ninth right now, and I think they're better than that. And they play at Carolina this Sunday, and that should be a win. And starting next week, We're back to doing our King of the Bayou, where we give away weekly prizes and a great grand prize.
Yes!
To where it's free. You sign up and you pick the games on Sunday, and again, whoever picks the most winners, no point spreads, just pick the winners. You'll get a cool weekly prize, and then we have the big grand prize at the end of the year. We're starting that next week.
Next Tuesday, to be exact.
Yeah,
at the end of that.
We're starting that.
So you can still sign up right now. Everybody, like, is on the website right now. Everybody can sign up right now if you want to get in on that. But it officially starts next Tuesday.
Yeah, it's free. We're going to miss the first 2 weeks this year because of Hurricane Ida. But our King of the Bayou is back. And, yeah, you can go sign up on our website. It only takes a second. It's free. It don't cost nothing. And that's on our website at bayou957.com. But we'll miss the first 2 weeks because of Hurricane Ida, and then we'll get the King of the Bayou going for week three. But go sign up when you get a second, and it only takes a few seconds. Coming up next, really, on the dumbest thing I read all morning, don't tell me someone else stole an ambulance. Wait till you hear this story. That's next on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. John Osterlund here with you. And it's that time of our show where I tell you the dumbest thing I read all morning. Coleman, do you remember not that long ago on our show, we talked about how someone stole an ambulance that was parked right outside a hospital here in New Orleans?
I do remember us talking about a story where somebody stole an ambulance while the ambulance was out on a call.
But there was a story not that long ago where someone stole an ambulance from outside of University Medical Center,
right,
you know, on Canal Street here.
I remember that. And do you remember the one where somebody called an ambulance, and when the ambulance got on the scene, somebody around that scene got into the ambulance and drove off?
I do remember that.
Yeah.
And I couldn't believe it. I'm like, what kind of a moron would steal an ambulance from a hospital? Well, man said he took ambulance to go to a different hospital for quicker service. This is a new story. This just recently happened. A Crowley, Louisiana man was arrested after stealing an ambulance and leading officers on a pursuit. And this happened in Crowley, Louisiana. This was in the middle of the daytime, too. At 1:35 p.m., Doosan, Louisiana police were alerted by St. Landry EMS that an ambulance had been stolen from Lafayette General Hospital and that the stolen ambulance was tracking westbound on I-10 coming into Doosan, Louisiana. The ambulance was equipped with a GPS tracker.
That's good.
Doosan police intercepted the ambulance traveling westbound on Interstate 10 and attempted to stop it, but the driver refused to stop and a pursuit ensued for 10 miles to the East Crowley exit. I wonder if the guy who stole the ambulance put the lights on and the sirens on when he was being chased by the police.
If he could find the button.
Police say the ambulance then proceeded to Louisiana Highway 1111 into the city of Crowley and pulled into the parking lot of a family physician's clinic. The driver of the ambulance then circled the driveway and struck a car occupied by an 88-year-old man. Luckily, no injuries were reported in the crash. The driver, identified as 36-year-old Carrie Cormier,
you idiot,
of Crowley, jumped from the ambulance and ran into the clinic. A Doosan, Louisiana police officer, assisted by Louisiana state troopers, as well as Acadia Parish Sheriff's deputies and Crowley police, all gave foot chase. So all these cops from these different municipalities are running on their feet into this medical clinic. They're chasing this man. They all gave foot chase and they captured Cormier and he was taken into custody inside the doctor's office.
It makes me wonder what kind of medical emergency he had, but he was still physically able to steal an ambulance, drive it to another hospital, and then evade police for as long as he did. He seems like he's a pretty healthy guy.
They questioned him about stealing the ambulance, and he said that just before noon, he was involved in a motor vehicle accident in Lafayette where he sustained an injury which caused pain in his back and on his side. He then reported that he was transported by an Acadian ambulance service to Lafayette General Hospital where he was placed in a lobby in pain. After waiting to be seen, he stated he decided to go to a different hospital for quicker service and walked out of the Lafayette General Hospital emergency room, found an ambulance parked there. That's when he took the ambulance and proceeded to go to the place where he ended up. He wanted to go see another doctor.
Well, he couldn't have been in that much pain if he was able to get up, walk out, hop into an ambulance, drive the ambulance, evade police while in the... while being chased, get out of that ambulance, and then evade the police on foot while into the clinic. And then he says, oh, I got into an accident at noon, where he just caused another accident with the ambulance when he pulled up at the family physician center. So his back couldn't have been that much painful. I know I've seen people in back pain. They can barely walk.
The first doctor he brought the ambulance to after he stole it from Lafayette General Hospital's emergency room, he was not immediately seen there either. So then he hopped back into the stolen ambulance that he already stole to go to his primary care physician. And that's when on his way there, he stated that the police started chasing him.
You know what? By the time he got to all these different physicians, if he had just sat there and waited, he probably would have been seen. As much time as it took him to get to the other hospitals and clinics and dodge police the whole way.
The Louisiana man who stole an ambulance, and he said he took it to go to a different hospital for quicker service. That's the dumbest thing I read all morning.
Think about that. That's just dumb.
Here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Calling all pop culture enthusiasts.
Are you obsessed with all things celebrity?
Do you live for the drama, the laughs, and the unexpected moments that unfold on social media?
Then you're going to want to tune in to the Comments by Celebs podcast.
Join us three times a week as we deep dive into every aspect of pop culture.
Whether it's dissecting the latest trends or just chatting about your favorite celebs, Comments by Celebs has you covered.
We have new episodes out every week. Follow and listen to Comments by Celebs on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.